Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Well, shall we? Here's what's happening. Another episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. I'm Brady Wright with, normally, the king of the 10mm socket wrench, Mr. Shane Osborne, who is home ill today. He will be back. Actually, I think he's taking an extra day of vacation.
Yes, I think so,
That's what's up with him. And, of course, Steve, the producer, Johan, the guy who has just returned from vacation and found a three-week-old pizza in the studio. You want to clean that up before we actually get started?
Because I will.
We didn't clean up last time we were here. Back to the blacktop. First, we check out the latest happenings in the automotive world. And Steve, as usual, has a whole plethora of stuff. What do you got?
Well, we do. Let's start out with latest corruption news from the United Auto Workers.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the highest-ranking United Auto Workers official implicated in a federal corruption case investigation into the misuse of funds for a joint UAW Fiat Chrysler Automobiles initiative pleaded guilty to a felony. Nancy Adams Johnson, a former top official in the UAW's FCA department, pleaded guilty to violating federal statutes prohibiting union officials from receiving cash or other emoluments. E-M-O-L-U-M-E-N-T-S.
Bribes.
Bribes.
Just so you know.
Why didn't they just say that?
They could have said that. Emoluments is a better word, but it's not really.
I'm going to have to expand my vocabulary. Or just, okay, other bribes from any employer.
Yeah.
Adams Johnson also agreed to cooperate with federal prosecutors looking into the misuse of training funds, but still could face up to 18 months in prison.
So she's rolling over on Jimmy Hoffa is what we're talking about here.
Yes, and the other people that we'll probably end up seeing in the news not too far down the road.
They'll never find the bodies. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my gosh. And then if you want to know a little bit about how the unions work, Mr. Kirk Kevorkian, who built MGM down in beautiful Las Vegas, actually, when he started out in the casino business, he was the first to go corporate, and he borrowed money from a lot of the pension funds.
As it turns out, you can't do that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're not supposed
you're
to.
Not
but
supposed
they did.
To. Yeah, well.
That was Hoffa days.
Yeah. Which building cornerstone, you know, to play that game. Well, that's too bad because, you know, it puts a black eye on the whole rest of the industry.
It does.
Of course, it's now that's more negative press, which Lord knows they don't need, on top of the recalls and other things that we've been paying attention to.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah.
Well, and then the good news, Toyota 86 Sport Coupe update. Toyota plans to offer a new edition of its 2x2 rear-wheel drive coupe.
Aha.
The Toyota 86 is in their 2019 lineup. With an impressive power-to-weight start, stats, and superb balance, and feel gains, and even sharper edge throughout its newest grade.
It's interesting that they're doing this in the face of the fact that some of the big three are giving up on sedans.
And this one's their sport coupe, and it's rear wheel.
Yeah, I mean,
so maybe it's to compete with the Mustangs and Camaros, which are rear wheel.
Yeah, I would have to have quite a bit of performance upgrades in order to be serious competition. But style-wise and body-wise,
yeah.
There's always going to be a place for a rear-wheel drive sport coupe.
I believe so.
Yeah.
And they offer the 86 and the 86 Plain and 86 GT. And what's interesting is you can get it both in a 6-speed automatic or a manual transmission. Oh. I would go for the manual.
If
I was to buy
a
Camaro, can you get Camaro in manual these days?
Yeah, you can. It's the only way you can guarantee a millennial will never steal it.
Yes. And the same thing
with the
Dodge Challenger, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm going to buy a muscle car, I'm going with the stick shift. Thank you very much.
Give me the three pedals
so I can actually light those tires up as much as I want.
Well, it also lets you feel the road better.
I love it.
Let's be real.
I grew up on a 4-speed, and that's how I rolled.
Must have been uncomfortable. Sorry, what?
What?
Hello?
That was not... Oh, my gosh. No. I was in a number of cars where I got to drive, and the shifter was in the center, and his girlfriend would be in the center, and so we won't go there. Trump to overpower California, a case of federalism gone wild. The Trump administration appears ready to make good on its threat to revoke the state of California's ability to set its own emissions and fuel economy rules as part of its efforts to ease the restrictions on vehicles in the U.S. The move would also eliminate California's ability to mandate the purchase of electric vehicles And it's been for more than three decades the state has been given an exemption because of their air quality issues. And believe me, I've been to Los Angeles. It's lot better today than it was even 10 years ago and even 20 years ago. And if you were down there in the 60s and 70s, which I remember as a kid, you couldn't see more than 100 yards in front of you.
Well, it's true. But part of that, it isn't so much because
it's
of the
because
emissions.
Of the way that
it's because of the geographical way the thing is laid out. And what they did, I understand why. I mean, understand the concept of why they set up the, you know, the emission standards in California the way they did. But what they created there was kind of a monster, because now California thinks it's exempt from federal regulation, period. And I, you know, I don't agree with everything Trump does, but I think this is probably a good move. Because it sure makes it easier for the rest of the auto manufacturers not to have to make a whole separate vehicle that satisfies California emissions. And it also, of course, it's going to kill the cottage industry of making the chip that gets by the California emissions for your car if you're going to move down there. But this may be a good deal.
I'm in a mixed bag on that.
Bring everybody in. Well, there's always a couple.
The mixed bag is I'm really more states' rights kind of guy now. And I'm not as – I understand the need for federal to make rules and regulations. But I also understand California's need to do what they're doing. And I get especially you have a Harley, and you have to have a CARB specialized exhaust system if you are down in California.
Well, I don't – I mean, mine's EFI, but you know, you can – you don't re-chip it if I'm going to go down there.
No. But on the other hand, all the great – shows that you see on TV and a lot of muscle cars and a lot of customs, they're all out of L.A. So they don't have an issue with cars putting out, old cars putting out a lot
of
pollution.
It kind of goes back to what we're talking about. You know, they decided to let them set up a statewide mandate for something that has nothing to do with the reason that they did it.
Yep.
You know, you can't change your geography. That's that low-pressure area is going to sit there no matter what
they
do.
That's right.
So
we'll see. It'll be very interesting.
Federally
mandated. It is. It'll be very interesting to see if this gets through.
I think I'm a fan of this. I think this.
They said they will sue the EPA.
Well, of course they will.
if they try to push it through.
Lawyers got to eat.
Now, on a not so good note, is just days after a duck boat sank, killing 17 people near Branson, Missouri.
Yep.
The former head of the National Transportation Safety Board called for a ban on using the craft for tourism and pleasure cruises. And you know what? Yeah. I thought
this was inevitable.
I thought that they were only limited to Seattle. I was in Boston, Philadelphia, where they got water.
Yeah.
And they're driving around with these things. And I went,
it's a national franchise.
But they died. We had some people die here in Seattle.
Yeah. And the difficulty,
these are old rigs made in World War II.
Yeah, they're old. Although they did manufacture them after World War II.
Right.
But the thing is, they're wider than the lanes in most every city
they
where
are.
They're used. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of things that...
Dynamically, that they do not turn very well.
Well, no, they weren't designed for that.
No. So, if they go away, poor duck guys are going to lose that business. And it'll.
Well,
but there's
yeah.
plenty of tour buses on all these... D.C. has tour buses. Boston has them. Philadelphia has them. I think you probably can get them in Seattle. Although Seattle, I don't know. Fiat gets another shakeup. For those who do not know, the head of Fiat Chrysler's European, Mideast, and African business operations reportedly has stepped down. The apparent departure of Alfredo Altavia, kicking into high gear, could become a period of significant turmoil in the automaker's senior ranks, touched off by the unexpected departure of longtime CEO Sergio Marconi over the weekend. The 66-year-old Marconi, who first brought Fiat back to business. You know, he's the one that back in 2010 got it out of bankruptcy. He left. Now, Atavilla, who was seen to be the next one, he's gone. And I think it's like the third person, because Michael Manley, after suffering a grave decline, was the one who stepped in. He left. So this is three people that have left all within a very short time. So they're scrambling. I don't know what's going to happen over at Fiat, but I guess the pressure of trying to bring in electric vehicles when they really don't want to has something to do with this. I don't know what the deal is, but
well, it's possible that they have just gotten a little bit too big. You know,
we have seen this before.
That is a giant conglomerate.
Conglomerate.
I mean, General Motors basically had to get bailed out by the government for some of these same problems. So we'll see.
We will see.
Hey, glad to have you with us. We have a terrific trivia question coming up and a bunch of stuff you've never heard before ever. All of that and more on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Never, ever.
Never.
Ever.
For all your parts cleaning needs, turn to Ravenstone Vapor Honing. Ravenstone Vapor Honing is a fast, economical, safe alternative to standard media blasting. Ravenstone Vapor Honing uses a system developed by Rolls-Royce back in 1944, a water-based cleaning system that restores parts back to factory condition with no scouring or heating to metal or damage to rubber and plastic parts. Ravenstone Vapor Honing is located in Snohomish, Washington. For all your parts cleaning needs, turn to RavenstoneVaporHoning.com. Redefining the way parts restoration is done.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit Father.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone.
I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone.
Hey everyone, Steve Johan here, producer of the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Show. If any of you have ever thought about or ridden a motorcycle, then I want to invite you to listen to a new show called World of Motorcycling, where we cover rider culture and the motorcycling world. World of Motorcycling is an informative and entertaining podcast featuring John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and me, Steve Johan. You can listen to the show at worldofmotorcycling.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Welcome back to the second segment of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Brady, Steve, and, well, Shane's not with us.
The absent Shane.
That's right. And
come
I
back,
have returned
Shane.
From my two-week come vacation. Back. Wonderful time I had back east with my family. It's time for the windshield view. And we have lots of things to go around in the western Washington area that we want to cover, as well as our Hemmings find of the day and much more.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Brady, I think you wanted to do a little plugging of a show coming up.
Yeah, we're pushing towards the end of the season car shows and other gatherings. There's a ton of them coming up.
It's July. It's not end of the season.
Well, but, you know, you promote these things ahead. You got to be 90 days out. And
okay.
It's important to do, you know, that
kind of
stuff.
I got more car shows. I got a whole box of cards to give out.
Yes, they're talking about the Good Guys show, which is coming up, and the Demonos has got a show coming. But one thing that is coming, it's a ways out. It's September 9th, but it is the Edmunds Classic Car and Motorcycle Show, which I actually produce.
Produce that show?
In the interest of full disclosure.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a day-long show on a Sunday in downtown Edmonds, Washington. If you're listening from out of state, this will mean absolutely nothing to you. But if you are within the area, we're still looking for some volunteers to help out. If you want to come down and park cars for a couple hours or help us with the registration, that'd be really cool. And if you decide that you're going to exhibit a car in the show, then the advantage of doing that is you get to park first. Which is kind of cool. You get a good spot, and there's nothing wrong with that either.
Where do they go to find out about this?
Well, you can actually email us at contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com, or you can go to the EdmundsClassicCarShow.com website and email the chamber through there. Either way, you just say, I'm interested in volunteering for the show, and we'll get back to you and let you join up. Cool t-shirts this year, too.
Oh,
we got a brand new t-shirt vendor, and we got some very cool trophies, a lot of new categories, and the Rat Rod area is expanded. Let's see. We got music by Danny Vernon.
Oh, very
good. He's going to do his Elvis tribute, and we also have a pinup pageant by the Electric Pinup Dolls, and they're going to have kind of a Rock'em Sock'em pageant. Usually they take a little longer, but we gave them 1 hour. We said, you got to roll this through here in 1 hour. And they're really jazzed about doing that.
Oh, that'll be great.
And this is family-friendly. All of this is family-friendly, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
You know, I came across this. I didn't even know these guys existed, and they may be a future interview, but there's a company called Jim's Classic Garage in Gig Harbor. And they are pleased to offer this very rare, very retro classic Bobcat. A 1980 Mercury Bobcat wagon is up for sale. And when you buy this, It goes to a teaching museum at the Jim's Classic Garage.
The money does.
Yes.
Okay.
All proceeds from
the
sale going to fund the museum.
Not bad.
It's a 1980 six-cylinder two-door station wagon. Runs and drives extremely well. The six-cylinder engine is mated with a four-speed manual transmission. Now, how much do you think they're asking for this?
$500.
$3,800.
It's not bad, actually. That's not bad.
Well, think about, now, what was the Bobcat? But it was a rebadged Pinto wagon.
Yeah, it was the Mercury Pinto, basically.
It was a Mercury Pinto.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is Mercury no longer is even around. So you're buying a couple of historical things, which I didn't even know the Pintos and the Bobcats went into 1980. I thought they were gone.
And I don't have any kind of sales figures on the Bobcat itself. The Pintos, you know, they sold a lot of them until they started blowing up. But I don't know about the Bobcat at all. It's an interesting-looking car. The badging, of course, is different. It's got a couple of different trim pieces. The body panels are all basically
the same.
It's
about the same, and it's a six-cylinder. So that scooted. It was like it was, you know, the Pintos, the Pacers, the Bobcats, were the Vegas.
You put the Pacer in the same category.
Okay,
as
let's not put the Pacer. I drove one of those. I told you that.
I know.
I think it maxed out at 80.
You drove?
I think it was... Yeah, it was
You drove a Goldfish bowl? That's very cool.
Yeah, it was my roommate's girlfriend's car, and I got to drive it one night.
Actually, if it wasn't for the running gear on the Pacer, it was really a nice car. I mean,
it was
cool,
actually very wide.
Stylistically, it was very cool. There
I mean,
was
my
no
Mazda 1800
spot,
blew it away. But
no blind spot in it.
No, there wasn't. you were in a bubble. It was almost like Ed Roth's whatever you that round domed car.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
So the Bobcat it's an auction, is it, or is it a...
It's just, they've got it up for sale for $3,800. They're just going to sell it. And, you know, what's interesting is the six, what I was going to say with the Vegas and the Pintos and this, that was GM's and Ford's salvo saying, we've got something that's energy efficient because we're getting killed and clocked by the Japanese cars.
Yeah.
So they put out these things.
Is this an inline six or a V?
You know, it didn't say.
I'll bet it's an inline.
But those six cylinders, you can punch up some.
Yeah, you could play with that.
Yeah, but a lot of these guys, especially with the Vegas, they drop V8s in them.
Well, yeah, there was enough room. You could
there was
that.
Enough room, and the problem is you've seen a lot of these things out there, and the frames are pretty twerked because
you got to gusset them.
But back in the day, no one thought about that. So
that's because they weren't putting V8s in them very often.
But the guys that did ends up like it's like kind of. One wheel's almost off the ground.
You know, Jim Green is still around. I wonder if he'd be interested in just one last project.
Oh, I know.
He's probably got a Hemi out there someplace.
I think so. Would that? Oh, a Vega with a Hemi, or maybe a Bobcat. We could pick up the Bobcat and for $3,800.
What's the contact on this?
It's over Jim's Classic Garage in Gig Harbor. So just look him up.
Okay, you could Google that.
And then I came across a really cool car. That is a cool car, and that is a 1971 Buick Riviera.
Oh, baby.
That was the first boat
71.
Tail.
71, yeah, that was, yeah.
That was a boat tail, all original, factory, copper mist, metallic, original color, very clean, parchment vinyl top.
Of course.
Always garaged. It's in New York, but it doesn't have any rust. Low 63,000 miles.
Sure.
It has the AM/FM radio, cruise control, power door locks, power trunk, release, air conditioning.
Got an 8-track?
No.
71. Come on, it's got an 8-track.
But it's got the original V8 455.
Oh, baby.
Pre-pollution control, so this thing kicks butt.
So what year is it? 71?
71.
See, I got a 74 455.
Yeah, this thing's going to be a lot more juice in it than yours.
Oh, I don't think so.
Yes.
No, I got the big juice.
No. 71 GS motors, a factory modified high performance
455. Oh, it's 455, the GS. Okay, all right, fair enough.
Four barrel, full out fast without any horsepower restraints. Which came in the later models due to the short the gas shortage and climate beginning at that time. They want 37K. It's Oyster Bay, New York.
That's not bad,
but,
actually.
You know, it was their answer to the Monte Carlo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those things were boats. They were really nice road cars.
They were.
Just like riding down a big floating cloud.
And it was kind of like Monte Carlo was the answer to the Cadillac Eldorado because it was a big two-door, big stick-it way out in the front.
Yeah, I had a 70 Monte Carlo.
I had a 76 Monte Carlo.
Yeah, see, they were bigger. By 76, they were making them bigger.
They
the 70s
were very
were,
big.
Were about the same size.
Well, by that time, they were like an Eldorado.
Yeah, yeah. But of course, the Eldos were front-wheel.
Yeah, that's a very interesting fact.
I don't think the Buick is a front-wheel drive.
No, it's rear. But they have that nice boat tail.
Yeah, and that's a great piece
and
of
it's,
styling.
It's a great piece of styling, and so if anybody would like something that's a little different, I think you might. And then I had a question. Where does the term Tri-5 come from, and what does it mean to describe a specific group of cars? Because you guys use that term all the time, Tri-5.
Well, it's 55, 56, 57 Chevys specifically. And I'm, as far as I'm aware, the term just comes from the three most popular years of those cars that all started with a 5. So it's Tri-5. It's a short, basically.
Kind of like a Tri-Cities, all in the same grouping?
Kinda, yeah. I mean, I don't think there's anything more, you know, obscure than that. I think that's it.
55,
I could be proven
56,
wrong.
56, 57.
Yeah, and Chevy specifically.
And that was because they were kind of like the premieres.
Well,
years,
yeah, they were
or
the
most popular years of that.
Well, you know, the 50s were the years of styling, Body by Fisher, and all the coachwork was different, and it was a big, you know, year, a big decade for styling of cars of all manufacturers. But the Chevys were real popular, and you know, there's knockdown, drag out fights over whether the 55 or the 56 was the most. You know, I mean,
right.
It doesn't
57,
matter.
They started getting a little.
Well, they were
longer.
They were all. Individual,
yes,
no parts interchange. They were all, you know, styling exercises of their own. But that's kind of where it came from. It's just that, as far as I'm aware.
I think it was a 55 that was on two lane blacktop to the
yes.
James Taylor movie
yes.
where they go across. That was a 55 with a big honking engine and you'd
it was
be
a,
racing.
It was a 210. It was a post.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a 55.
Yeah. My neighbor had one of those. It was a green. The, remember that green kind of like almost the color of your shirt, but a little
yeah.
bit brighter.
Yeah.
And
yeah. I had a 56. I had a Bel Air.
Yep.
Well, it's a nice car, I tell you.
Well, now you answered it for me. Thanks.
All right. Happy to do that. Anything you need to know, just ask me. I'll make something up. Stay here. We got to talk with Ed Dose of Ravenstone Vapor Honing and another story from the old car nut book. That and more on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored four-on-the-floor red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
Get ready. It's coming. The 18th annual Edmunds Classic Car and Motorcycle Show is happening September 9th, 2018. And yeah, you heard right. For the first time ever, classic motorcycles are included. If you have a hot rod, a rat rod, classic, custom, vintage car, truck, or motorcycle, this is the show for you. All vehicles must be 30 years old or older. That's 1988. This festival of steel and chrome will fill the streets of downtown Edmunds on Sunday, the 9th of September. It's a season-ending show, and it's all free to see. The streets will be lined with vendors, food, fun for the family, a pinup pageant by the Electric Pinup Dolls, and many special guests and one-of-a-kind customs. All new trophies and music from Danny Vernon. Register your entry at the Edmunds Chamber website or call direct. Pre-registrations get the best locations, so get on it right now. Still, just $25 per vehicle, as always. The Edmunds Classic Car and Motorcycle Show is coming to cap the summer car show season. Why leave town when the fun is right here? Go to EdmundsClassicCarShow.com or call the Edmunds Chamber of Commerce. Crank up your ride and we'll see you there.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
More Horsepower Chrome and Rust after these messages.
Hey all you guys and gals, the next time you're hankering for a trip down memory lane, we recommend a visit to our Older Than the Hill Chateau de Schmel Resort in Boondocks, Idaho, where the rooms smell like week-old cigarette smoke and month-old beer. Every weekend during the summer months, we feature our Old Maid Punkle Run, Gooder Trash Clam Bake, and Big Ted's Keg Toss. And don't forget our complimentary Bloody Mary morning appetizers to chase away those late night reveries. Sure enough, when you want to travel back and enjoy those old biker smell, then come to stay at Chateau de Schmel, where our two mascots, Pit and Bull, will greet you at the gate and where we never leave the lights on. Because, hey, after all, we're going green. Chateau de Schmel, because nothing beats the old days of smoky bars, stale beer, and crap on the carpet than a visit to Chateau de Schmel. And for those who don't know how to spell Chateau de Smell, that's okay. We made it easy for you. It's smellit.com.
Welcome back to the third segment of the show, and this is where we typically interview someone of interest. And tonight we have Ed Dose on with us, owner of Ravenstone Vapor Honing, to talk to us about why people should consider his business when it comes to cleaning parts.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
How are you doing, guys?
And for more information, go to RavenstoneVaporHoning.com.
Oh, and we'll tell you more about that as we go. I love how you started this, though. This is where we usually interview someone interesting.
Yes.
Tonight, however, we have Ed. No. Ed's interesting. We know it is.
I was including him as someone interesting.
I just
took it the wrong way.
No. It's my job is to take things the wrong
way. I know.
I'll be leaving now.
Yeah. Tell me about vapor honing, because I'm sitting here looking at your brochure, and it's very cool. We're going to put all of this on the website so that people can see it. But it talks about motorcycle and auto and aircraft and marine stuff. What's the difference between vapor honing and any other kind of material removing?
Yeah. Vapor honing is a wet blasting. It's
okay.
There's four or five different names for it, but wet blasting is more well known than in the others. It's just a water-based high pressure air with a small media included. But it's like sandblasting. But it doesn't warp the parts, and it doesn't eat away any of the metal while you're using it.
Nice. There's not a lot of heat involved, obviously.
No heat at all, except for the water in the hose.
Yeah, we were talking off air, and I mentioned, Ed, I've got a soda blaster, a small one, at home. And it's similar, but it sounds to me like yours has the potential to be a little bit more aggressive if you want to really get in quickly.
Correct. If you use a harsher media, it can be very aggressive. But I just use it to wash the parts. If you look up the webpage, you'll see all the parts that I've cleaned in on the photos page. But you can take a lot of aggressive media and take off paint and rust and things like that a lot quicker. But I'd rather take care of the part and take off the rust and paint and everything off of it, but still taking care of the metal.
Yeah, and what's interesting is this was developed by Mercedes-Benz.
Rolls-Royce.
Rolls-Royce.
During World War II.
Right, and that was used to clean parts and things like this?
Correct. The aircraft motors of World War II, they developed it. And it's been in Europe, and the Europeans have used it since. Instead of sandblasting, it just came to the United States about 2.5 years ago. Why it took 75 years to get here, I have no idea.
And how did you find out about it and become a licensed franchise out here?
It was strange the way I found out about it. A friend of mine was dying of brain cancer, and I talked to her, and she said, "Why don't you clean things?" Because I was just about to retire from the real estate industry. And she said, "Why don't you clean things?" And I said, "You know, I don't know, you know, what we're gonna do." And after she passed away, you know, you start thinking about conversations that you had, and I started getting on the internet looking up cleaning. And when you get on the internet, it, you know, fades in from this to that and the other thing, and it just kind of combined. And there was Jay Leno talking about vapor honing, and that's the way it started. And I'm like, wow, that's awesome, you know, and just started researching it more and more, and that's how I got into it.
I'm just, while you're talking here, Ed, I'm just shooting a piece of video of the couple of things that you brought down here. You've got a head and you've got a manifold here.
Right.
And it's fascinating. The one side that you've blasted is just as smooth as it could possibly be.
Yep. Right.
And the other sides are rough, of course. How long does it take to do something like what this is?
It depends on how bad it is. If it's like this, the head that you're looking at on the video, that takes a little longer because of the fins and the intricate details and
right,
ins and outs
of
the part. That's really what takes the time. If it's something that's smooth and doesn't have the ins and outs and the fins and stuff like that, it's generally very quick. But it also depends on the condition of the piece that I'm working on as well. If it's got paint or chrome, you know, the oxidation and dirt usually come right off, but paint and chrome takes a little while.
And what I found when I went out to a shop to look at what he was doing is the unique thing that I'm seeing is that it doesn't harm plastic parts, it doesn't harm rubber parts, whereas most media is going to destroy that stuff.
Right, yeah. You can
disintegrate it or cause it to break down.
Right, you can leave the plastic and rubber on, it actually cleans it.
Yes, so and it looks cool. Like brand new. I mean, I've seen some pizzas. And then the other thing, you were talking about, it removes the paint. So, like, if you have a metal tab that's sitting on or label on or like a engine block, you can go around all the stamping and the embossed areas, and you clean it off, and all of a sudden it looks like it's brand new.
Correct.
Just no paint on it.
Correct.
So this thing is sort of gun-driven. I mean, you can move around the piece.
It is gun-driven. It's a hand-driven gun. It's
right.
Like a sandblaster.
Got
but
it.
It's all in one nozzle. The air, the water, and the media all come out of the same nozzle.
Cool. So it's
comes
not
out
so
about
much
the size of your finger.
You don't necessarily have to take the piece off. I mean, obviously a head, you're going to do that. But
right.
If you were going to, say, blast down an engine, you could conceivably do it on a stand. I mean, you wouldn't do it in the car, but...
Well, it's in a compartment. It's like a sandblasting
okay.
compartment, so
okay.
I can't really do it when it's outside the compartment.
Got
there
it.
Is a machine out there that you can do frames and full cars, things like that, but this isn't what I do. I do all the small parts.
Yeah. Right. As a matter of fact, we know someone who's a friend of yours, and you do a little work back and forth because
right.
he'll do the full body.
Right.
And then when he gets through, it'll be all completely cleaned, and he uses a very similar media type thing and water. But it works cold, so it doesn't warp.
Right. Right. Right.
Whereas sandblasting can warp, egg shells can warp. But you do it on a smaller basis.
I do it on the small scale. And, Steve,
and you can't take the big one and do your heads and stuff like that with
correct.
It. I mean, you just can't get in there.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd blow this across the driveway.
That's exactly
Steve,
right.
Steve Hall of Echo Blast does the cars and the frames and
okay.
things like that. But I do all the small stuff. So if there's something that's too small for him where it would blow it across the driveway, he would give it to me. And if there's something too big for me, I would give it to him.
Now, so. I see ads on Facebook and other places online for this thing called a dustless blaster.
That's
I'm sure you're
it.
Familiar. Is that basically what we're talking about
that's
here?
That's it, yeah.
Okay. Because, I mean, the brand isn't important, but
right.
the process is what we're talking about.
Same process.
Fascinating.
Same process.
Because that looks to me like something you could conceivably, I mean, I know you're doing it in a compartment, but you could conceivably do it outside and not have to worry about, contaminating kind of media.
Yeah, it's all biodegradable,
yeah,
everything.
So what actually is the media? What's it made of?
The media is fiberglass, crushed fiberglass, fiberglass beads. Crushed sand, crushed glass.
Nice.
It all depends on what I'm doing. And the size of the media also depends
okay.
on what I'm doing. Usually I just stick with the same size media because it's easier for me and it's the finish that everybody likes.
Yeah, I mean, when you're looking at it, you can look at the fact that it almost seals up. It puts a very velvety feel on the aluminum, whereas a lot of time you can have like three different, you got the basic and then you got the velvet feel.
Right.
And
yeah,
then
this
when it comes,
this is really smooth. It's
it
nice.
Is. And then when you come into using rustable parts, you also can, when you get through, you can seal it as well.
I usually put spray rust inhibitor on it.
Right in it. As
right.
As you're cleaning.
Correct.
So it just permeates the part.
Sure.
Correct.
Consequently, it doesn't rust.
Correct.
Now tell us, you've had some very interesting stories of interesting parts that have been sent your way from all over the United States.
The most interesting is a full Ducati motor the guy wanted to have done, and
nice.
And he didn't want to take it apart. And I said, you know, you're going to get media in it. He said, I don't care. I'm making a coffee table out of it. So
that's great.
What year was the motor?
You know, it was late 50s.
Okay, so an old
like
vintage.
So
yeah.
Nice. Very old.
So
and
you just
I
want
did
the exterior
that,
to look good.
And I was, it was very heavy. So when I was pulling it out of the cabinet, I was more concerned about the health of the part and lost my balance and actually fractured my elbow. But the part, the engine was saved.
The engine survived.
So
yes.
I was more concerned about the part than I was myself.
Yeah.
And the other one was the old Porsche 356 motor that somebody brought in, and it had been caked for years and years and years, and we didn't know what kind of condition it was. And by the time I had gotten down to it, it was so pitted that you could see through the engine.
Oh, jeez.
And I called the guy and said, you
a little
know,
compression loss there.
Yeah,
probably.
a lot. Do you want me to continue? He says, oh, yeah, you know, it's the original
motor. He's
going to
make
motor.
A coffee table
yeah.
out of it.
So he had the motor that was with the original car, so he got his Porsche certificate. But
oh, there you go.
He had the spare motor that
yeah.
he was actually putting
oh,
in.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah.
Now, you told me about that
cool.
People in old airlines, old planes, really old motorcycles, that people send you parts and stuff as well.
Correct. Yeah. Rhinebeck, New York, there's an aerodrome back there that has a D7, Fokker D7 from World War One, and they sent me one part to try me out to send it back. I don't know if that was off the D7 or not, but
right.
I think they may have just taken a part that they had and
right.
said, let's send this and find out what happened.
This one's on the bench.
It.
Send this
right.
to him.
And I know Rhinebeck. I was there when I was a kid, and I went back there a couple years ago with my son, so I knew the place. And that's why I got in touch with them and said, hey, I'll help you out, because it's all volunteer-driven kind of thing.
Right. Right.
It's a really interesting place. But, yeah, World War One aircraft is
oh,
awesome
that's
to work on.
That's a
wow.
one-off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
not
yeah.
going to be a lot of those again.
Yeah.
Now, when a person wants to contact you, you're out in Monroe, just out of Monroe, Washington, but people have found you online through your website and that type of thing?
Correct. And I don't put the address online or
no,
on the brochures
yeah.
because the shop is at my house.
Yes.
But you can call me and text me and say, you know, hey, Ed, I want to come out and bring this out, and I'll text you back the address.
Yeah. And we've got Raymond, let's see, RavenstoneVaporHoning.com. We've got the phone number, which I will give out. It's 425-443-4330. And we're going to put all of that, of course, on the Facebook page and the
awesome.
Website, too.
Now, when a person says...
The highly professional video that I shot will be there, too.
Awesome.
Yes. And
the one where you're dropping the part?
Yeah,
that's,
that one.
Yeah, okay,
yeah,
good.
That's,
yeah. So the question I have is sometimes somebody will say, you know, I can clean my own parts. But what I find is when someone's going to clean their own parts, they may be using a soda. But the soda is going to break some stuff down and on that part. The other is maybe they're just going to use solvent. And solvent is very toxic.
Right.
And it's going to take a long time because of...
Or a wire brush. The guy at the swap meet said he was going to... How long does that take you to clean? I said, about an hour. And he said, oh, I can do that. I'm not paying you $60 to clean. And I said, it's got fins on it. Do you know how long that's going to take?
Oh, geez.
He said... Probably a week. I said, so you'd rather work on that for a week
time
than
for
to give
a week.
It to me for an hour. And, you know, okay, go ahead and do it.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? Because sometimes you think you're going to – I was thinking about I had a story in my head that I thought I was going to save money on building something, and I turned around. I was thinking about just this 2 days ago, and I went, darn, I spent a lot of money and time on something I should have just bought off
well,
the
yeah.
shelf.
Right, rich dad, poor dad.
Yeah.
Just because you can do a thing doesn't make it a good idea.
Right.
I mean,
so I've gotten
well,
a lot more smarter in that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the kind of thing, when I go to restore my El Camino, I'm thinking I'm taking some of my parts out there for doing that. And then the big one I'll take off to Steve and have him do the actual body and that kind of thing. So now, how do you... where have you been getting most of your clients? Has it been pretty much all over the place for you?
It's really all over the place. Right now, Portland is really hot for some reason. There's a lot of people from Portland sending me things. I've got people from Rhode Island, New York, Maine, Vermont, Florida. And there are other vapor honing or wet blasting companies back there. But I think it's because of the website, because I've looked at the other websites.
Yeah.
And because the website is a little more... professional looking, I guess, they would rather send it to me than to have somebody else do it. And my turnaround is usually about a day and a half, depending on how many pieces you have or how big it is.
Yeah, some of the other places I do know, having checked a couple of them out for previous projects, sometimes they're looking at a week, you know, just to even get the thing in there and give you a quote. It's like, well, I don't want to spend that much time, so... quick turnaround is a big selling point.
And if you're really in a hurry and it's just a small part, just sit there and wait. I'll do it while you're sitting there watching. You can kill the mole in my backyard for me.
Huh.
I got a mole that I need to kill too. My cats are not doing a good job.
I'll wrench my dog.
Well, you know, we're getting down to the end of our time with you. So, Brady, why don't you tell them more information how you can get a hold of them?
Well, yeah, obviously, I mean, we're going to put the website on our Facebook page. We'll also, of course, it's part of the show. When we do the drop of the show, we're going to add all this to it. And the video that I shot, which isn't great, but it does show you the difference between a finished piece and a raw piece.
Yes.
We'll put that on the website and the Facebook page so people can see the kind of stuff that you do. Is there any kind of part or piece or anything, Ed, that you wouldn't do?
Open bearings and anything with Harley-Davidson chrome on it, because the the nickel chrome I can't take off.
Yeah,
I just can't take off.
Yeah.
The open bearings, I can do them, but they're just a pain to clean. And the other thing is carburetors. You have to be able to take them apart after I get done with them or before and give them to me.
Excellent. Well, Ed, thanks. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Ravenstone Vapor Honing is our company, and Ed Gosse is our guest. You're listening to The Greatest.
For all your parts cleaning needs, turn to Ravenstone Vapor Honing. Ravenstone Vapor Honing is a fast, economical, safe alternative to standard media blasting. Ravenstone Vapor Honing uses a system developed by Rolls-Royce back in 1944, a water-based cleaning system that restores parts back to factory condition with no scouring or heating to metal or damage to rubber and plastic parts. Ravenstone Vapor Honing is located in Snohomish, Washington. RavenstoneVaporHoning.com, redefining the way parts restoration is done.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Hey everyone, Steve Johan here, producer of the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Show. If any of you have ever thought about or ridden a motorcycle, then I want to invite you to listen to a new show called World of Motorcycling, where we cover rider culture and the motorcycling world. World of Motorcycling is an informative and entertaining podcast featuring John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and me, Steve Johan. You can listen to the show at worldofmotorcycling.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Get ready. It's coming. The 18th annual Edmunds Classic Car and Motorcycle Show is happening September 9th, 2018. And yeah, you heard right. For the first time ever, classic motorcycles are included. If you have a hot rod, a rat rod, classic, custom, vintage car, truck, or motorcycle, this is the show for you. All vehicles must be 30 years old or older. That's 1988. This festival of steel and chrome will fill the streets of downtown Edmonds on Sunday, the 9th of September. It's a season-ending show, and it's all free to see. The streets will be lined with vendors, food, fun for the family, a pinup pageant by the Electric Pinup Dolls, and many special guests and one-of-a-kind customs. All new trophies and music from Danny Vernon. Register your entry at the Edmonds Chamber website or call direct. Pre-registrations get the best locations, so get on it right now. Still, just $25 per vehicle, as always. The Edmonds Classic Car and Motorcycle Show is coming to cap the summer car show season. Why leave town when the fun is right here? Go to EdmundsClassicCarShow.com or call the Edmunds Chamber of Commerce. Crank up your ride and we'll see you there.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go fish, Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment.
This is Elton Roundhill and Shane Osborne with E Company Customs in Linwood, Washington. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
This is Robert with Bonbrunner Motorsport. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Welcome back to the fourth segment of the show, and this is Cars Confidential, where we... Well, we don't share hot rod.
Yes, we do. We share hot rod stories.
Share hot
all the
rod
time.
Stories, and
yes, we do.
I'm filling in for Shane, and I'm kind of, you know, being Shane when we first started out. And he's gotten so good, guys. So we're just giving him a hard. Whenever Shane's not here, I give him a hard time, and so do you. But we miss Shane really bad, especially
of course.
It's been 3 weeks since I've been in the studio with him.
I know, it's frightening.
It's frightening. So what do you got tonight for us for a really cool story there,
tonight,
Brady?
A good one. This is actually from the Old Car Nut book. The first book, it's the one with the story of the Hot Rod Lincoln in it. And this particular one is written by a guy named Rich Tringali. And it's called If I Could Turn Back Time, which was the title of a Cher song. It has nothing whatever to do with that song. So like many young guys growing up in the mid-70s, I was 16 years old when I got my driver's license. And, of course, I immediately wanted a car so bad I could taste it. One night after an inspirational viewing of American Graffiti, my father and I went out in search of the perfect car for me. Being a real car guy with a penchant for building and fabricating, he figured we should get something that would allow me to get my hands greasy and learn how to build my own hot rod. So a chopped 37 Ford Coupe turned out to be just the thing we were looking for. It was a body on a frame with no running gear, and we bought it because we didn't have a garage and had it dropped in the middle of our backyard. This sounds familiar.
Yes.
Thus began an every night father and son adventure that turned into one of the coolest hot rods in the area. We started by taking the body off the frame, and my dad showed me how to install a 12-bolt posi rear end. Next, using his cutting and welding skills, Dad split the wishbone to accommodate a small block Chevy motor and a tranny mount. The real fun began as we went to the local auto parts and auto body supply house and got everything we'd need to get the frame ground, filled, sanded, and painted. And as we lived on a major road, people started watching the progress, and soon a few brave souls stopped by to have work done. So by the time I was 17 years old, I wound up with a little business I could call my own.
Cool.
I was learning how to do things that a lot of people never learn, and it was all pretty exciting. So before long, the frame was done, and we added the body and finished the chop job. As I finished the body on the 37, I added stock rear fenders, a 32 grill shell, little hot rod fenders, and then I primed it and added smoked glass. I was also working on my brother's custom 55 Chevy at the time. We were really getting into this hot rod lifestyle and started going to all the cruise nights like Captain Fowler's, the Pizza Tower, and Jolly George's. Never the shy ones, we made our presence known, and many soon recognized us as the Tringali Brothers. Sounds like a circus act. My dad rebuilt an old 327 Chevy motor that he had hanging around and put a tri-power on it. We installed that and the tranny into the waiting hot rod, which had been begging for a heart. And for the first day it was running, we went out for a shakedown run. We hadn't installed exhausts yet, and sure enough, the man who lived across the street was a MDC cop. He ran out of his house in pajamas and flagged me over for running open headers. I got lots of tickets in those early years, but the first one was a guy in his pajamas. There were very few more weeks before winter set in, and we did as much as we could before finally having to leave the thing sit with a tarp over it. To my surprise, but because I had been building a reputation as an up-and-comer, I got invited to the Massachusetts Street Rods Car Club Christmas party. I really felt like I was becoming a full-time gearhead. We had no garage, and I had to wait until spring, but once the weather allowed, I painted my car in the open air right there in our backyard. I had chosen canary yellow with flames, of course. Over the long winter, I had kept the trunk in my basement, the trunk lid. I learned how to use an airbrush, and I duplicated the album cover to American Graffiti on the lid.
Mm.
It was a major accomplishment, and I wound up being praised by many as a work of art. So with the paint done and the trunk lid installed, the car was done. He's got a picture here of the paint on the trunk lid, which is actually pretty cool. My brother Donnie and I hit the road in the local cruise night, unveiled our finished cars. It was a family affair, and I took my dad and my 37, and my mom went in my brother's 55. It was a night to remember. The local car club members would point and say, "There's the Tringali brothers." We'd become really well known by then, and it felt pretty cool. About the time I started a car club known as the Sinners, a local nightclub known for their 50s-era music had Bill Haley's original Comets featured one night, and I went to see them while I was out with my 37 Ford. One of the members of the band noticed my car outside and asked if they could take a group shot with it, and I said, "Well, hell yeah." To my surprise, someone had told them that I played guitar, and they asked me to sit in. Who is this guy?
Wow.
I played lead guitar as the crowd danced to Rock Around the Clock. It was an event that I'll never forget, and I knew from that night on that hot rods and rock and roll that would always be a part of who I am. The next year, I made the custom flip nose for the 37. I added 59 Volkswagen glass headlights, a 59 Caddy taillights, a 4-speed. I primed it in old-school brown. After my dad passed away, I sold my car to the owner of Fonzie's Auto. I drove it over to his place and said a fond farewell. It hurt, but it had to be done. We sold most of our family's belongings and moved our mom to Florida. Once she passed, I moved back to Massachusetts, and to my knowledge, Fonzie's Auto had closed and moved, so I never expected to see the old 37 again. Decades passed, and one day, I saw my 37 on Craigslist. It was for sale, and it looked just the way it did when I sold it to him.
Wow.
The ad read, "Built by a father and son team," and I nearly cried. He'd kept the car in his private collection, and he wanted $28,500.
Wow.
Now, I'd sold the car for $4,500. I called him, I told him who I was, and he said it was the same as the day he bought it, except he'd sold the tri-power off it and added a cake box hood scoop. Like many old hot rodders, I didn't have the money to step up and buy what I used to have when I was younger, and I'd have given my soul if I could have turned back time and still have it. It was full of memories of great times with my dad and the learning experiences he gave me. Today, I own Righteous Rods, and I've built many clones of the famous 32 driven by the character John Milner in American Graffiti. I'm close friends with many of the cast, including Bo Hopkins and Candy Clark and Paul LaMatte and Cindy Williams, and they've used my personal cars for many shows. Street Rodder and George Barris even did a DVD about me. Well, put a fork in me. I will live, sleep, breathe, eat, and die a true hot rodder. but I'd still like to have that old 37.
Wow.
Isn't that a cool story?
Very nice.
It's not very often that you find guys who've had that, you know, level of involvement, and yet there's more of them out there than you think.
Yes, there are.
You know, it's been a passion for people since the 40s. How in the heck many years is that? I don't even want to know.
Yeah.
75 years. Hot rods will never die, friends, and that's a good thing because it means that we have a podcast.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
As usual, these things are all from the Old Car Nut book. David Dickinson did a great job compiling these stories, and you can get it on Amazon or direct at theoldcarnutbook.com. You can get it through Evancourt Press. There are three books in the series, and if I can just get him off the dime, he'll finish the fourth book. And the whole series would make a great gift for some hot rodder in your life.
You know, Ed, you probably have you're doing the vapor honing, and I didn't see any hot rods lurking around your shop.
There's one in there now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. When I was a high school student, I had a 77 Dodge Van that I built up, and you know when high schools had shops,
we built
it up. So yeah. I just bought a 77 Dodge Van with a 383 stroker in it.
Oh, what fun!
The inside is going to look like a Challenger Learjet, but the outside is going to look like a definite hot rod. Yeah,
very cool. You're going to scallop paint job it?
No. It's
I mean,
gonna,
that was
it's
the
gonna
thing,
be
you
the
know?
Original black
oh, nice.
Flake.
Yeah, yep. Better.
It's gonna be.
Oh,
nice.
You mean you're not gonna do the Boris Vallejo style?
Yeah, I was thinking about
beautiful woman
yeah,
with the
bubble window on the
that's
side.
Right.
And,
big
the,
bubble window with Cherry Buster on the side painted on the side.
Oh yes.
Yep.
Well, it's better than painting it, you know, flat white with a free kitten sign on the door. That's the other one you don't want to do. Yeah.
Or the stereos. We got stereos for sale.
Ask me about my puppy. Maybe not.
You'll hear this one coming.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Well, with a 383, sure. Why wouldn't you? Yeah. That's good.
Is that a three on a tree?
No. Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah, yes.
Yes, it is. I haven't driven it yet. It's not drivable at the moment. So it's,
nice.
It's completely
we jack
gutted.
Up the brakes a little bit, too.
That is awesome. Well, thanks. Thanks, Brady, for another great story. And, Ed, I'm looking forward to seeing your van as you move it along.
Come on by.
We'll be right back with more. And we've got our trivia coming up this week. So hang with us. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored, four-on-the-floor, red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Hang on till right after these messages.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377, where we've helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. The law offices of Ambulance and Chaser are making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, the law firm of Ambulance and Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit the Shelter Pet Project.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Welcome back to the fifth and final segment of the show. This is Around the Wheel, where we talk about the events and rallies and stuff that happens in the clubs, movies even, cruise-ins, books, and the weekly trivia question, all that
God,
stuff.
God, there hasn't been a great car movie in... We were just talking off-air about...
Speaking of great car movies, here's a classic. There is going to be, out in Snohomish, Thursday night at the Thomas Family Farms, there's going to be a showing of the movie Grease.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
On a 60-foot screen.
Wow.
It is a benefit performance, and there are going to be a bunch of people out there with, you know, typically period sort of cars. We tried to find somebody who had a duplicate of the Grease Lightning, you know, but we couldn't find anybody with that.
Right.
But we got a bunch of the guys. Greg is going to be out there. Shane is going to be there. Several of the people that are friends of the shows, the guys who are promoting the thing called me up and said, who do you know? I said, I may know some guys. I might. So it's going to be a really good deal.
Cool.
Let's see. I think it's 7 o'clock as the thing starts. You can if you Google Thomas Family Farms, you'll find out what the deal is. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Very good.
And when was the last time you saw Grease on a 60-foot screen?
No.
Come on.
I haven't.
Just for nothing else.
I think my wife's got it on video.
Oh, who doesn't? I mean, you got
actually, her favorite movie is Xanadu.
Oh, that was an awesome movie.
Ooh. It was.
Yeah.
Great music.
Oh, yeah.
And they had the tubes. The tubes, man.
Yeah,
I had
weirdest casting
TV
in the world.
Suicide.
The
I had that
tubes,
album.
Olivia Newton-John and Gene Kelly.
ELO. Oh,
in the same movie.
Like, ELO was in there.
ELO, yeah. I mean, boy, that's a interesting casting.
It is. And it was an interesting movie, but it had great music.
Oh, yeah.
Great music.
Well, another cool thing that's coming up is this coming weekend, the 27th, is going to be The Good Guys.
Oh.
Giant exposition down at the Puyallup Fairgrounds.
Yes, Puyallup Fairgrounds.
Western Washington Family Fairgrounds, but it's the Puyallup for everybody
Puyallup
that lives around
for everybody.
Here. So that's going to be a 3-day deal. The old school drags are Friday night, and then Saturday and Sunday is stuff at the fairgrounds. That's one of the biggest outdoor expositions in the entire area.
Well, the drags are over at the racetrack, are they not?
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
Pacific Raceway.
But they have stuff Friday night that's connected with the Good Guys.
Okay,
show.
There is it Pacific Raceway? Is it National?
It's
Pacific SIR.
No, it's SIR now, I think. I don't know. I've been here all my life.
It's changed.
It's SIR. It's Pacific Raceways. Yes. It's Seattle National Raceways. It's whatever the heck it is.
It is.
It's Bill Doner's place out
down in Kent.
I moved here last year. It took me a year to figure out how to say Puyallup.
Yeah.
Puyallup. Yeah. You're doing remarkably well, by the way.
You are.
That's
Puyallup.
Yeah. Pretty soon we'll start.
Like
we'll,
Squim, not Sequim.
Yeah.
Supla Vida.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. I was there. Anyway, also, of course, coming up is the De Motos car show. That's going to be the following weekend. And we have to do the trivia question.
Yes.
Just before we went on vacation, we asked what the date of the very first Horsepower Chrome and Rust show was. And yes, we indeed even had a winner.
Oh.
Yeah, Bob Baxter got us on Facebook. He sent me a personal message. He said, I looked on your website. It was too easy.
Oh,
October 2nd.
No, he's supposed to listen to it.
Well, maybe he did. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wasn't going to quiz the guy, but he is definitely going to get his very own bucket of Barn Find dust, which we give to all of our winners.
That's right.
You can sprinkle that dust freely over any car you like and immediately quadruple the value because they'll think it was found in a barn. And for next week, the trivia question is, what year was the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit instituted nationally?
Ooh,
it was a sad day in automotive
sad
history.
Sad day. Even Sammy Hagar came out with the
Sammy
I Can't
Hagar
Drive
song.
55.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
so if you
man.
Know, get with us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You can send it to us by email at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com, or you can answer on the Facebook page. And you, too, can win your very own bucket of barn dust, which we have an unlimited supply of because we'll sweep some up off the floor and, you know, put it in a bucket.
And many of us lived through that 55.
Oh, boy.
It was awful.
Hey, the music is our cue to hit the gas. Until next week, thanks for liking and following our website and Facebook page. Thanks to Ed Dosay of Ravenstone Vapor Blasting for coming in. Check out the archive for all our shows at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com. For Shane Osborne, Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Slide by next week for another edition of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.